My name is Manfred Petrich. I'm a blogger since about 20 years now, as in the alternative media out of Switzerland. But I decided I had to leave Europe, and I moved to Abkhazia 7 years ago, to the Republic of Abkhazia, which is on the Black Sea. And I live there now, and I'm doing fine. And I watch what's happening all around the world, and I commented on my blog.
Now, look, I know you worked for a long time, many decades, in the financial sector in Switzerland. And and I just wonder what you make of these enormous bailouts that there's been during the COVID-19, because I'm aware that back in, I think it was September last year, there were some serious like earthquakes going on within the US financial system. Massive amounts of cash had to be injected to keep it going. And some have said that the bailouts are really more related to that than they are to the virus. So maybe you could answer that one, and also maybe compare it to what we had in 2008.
Well, absolutely. What a lot of people don't realize, that all these bailouts in America and also in Europe, in Britain, but also in the EU, are only targeted at those people that already have everything. So what we are seeing is a huge transfer of wealth from the bottom to the top. And the small businesses, the little people are basically getting nothing. And the big corporations, the big players on the stock market, the speculators and the hedge funds, they are getting all the money. And this is 100 times worse or bigger than what happened 2008, 2009, because there only the banks were bailed out. But here, everybody basically is being bailed out, right? I mean, all big businesses are being bailed out. And that is incredible what is happening. They are spending money which they don't have by making huge debts, absolutely astronomical debts, which will never be repaid with this money that they are throwing around.
Now, I mean, the other thing is, some people are saying this is even bigger than 2008, but it's being talked about as the a bailout because of the pandemic.
Well, that's being, well, you see, the whole damage of the economy is not because of the virus, but because of the lockdown decision by the governments that's causing the damage. So this is a damage caused by the politicians who ordered a complete lockdown of everything. And as we can see on the example of Sweden, Sweden has now defeated the coronavirus without a lockdown, and their businesses are booming. All the statistics, the latest statistics show that the Swedish company are reporting huge profits because they never had a lockdown.
Yeah, well, this is also because their companies were active whilst many, many companies for months were closed down in other parts of Europe.
Absolutely, but who caused the closing of the companies? It was the governments, the politicians, right? And now they have to save all these companies, which they forced more or less into bankruptcy.
Okay, right? So what's the main argument, do you think, for doing what Sweden did? Because they don't seem to have particularly more numbers of people who have died of COVID-19 than other places.
For instance, today I read that the Swedish have zero deaths from COVID-19. Zero. So obviously, and I said this already back in March when this whole thing started, that a lockdown is absolutely the worst measure you can do. Because what you're doing is not doing anything against the spread of the virus. What you're doing is just destroying the whole economy. You see, you cannot switch off the economy and switch it on again like a computer or like a television, because it takes a lot of time to come back again. And in the meantime, all these companies go out of business, right? So we are facing now, especially in the United States, huge unemployment, 50 million people unemployed, a whole wave of evictions out of their homes and apartments, credit defaults that the people cannot pay their mortgages and their credit card debts and everything else. So, and all it was caused by the decision to lock down the whole economy.
Okay, so why was it that you think that the European countries mainly, and obviously there are other countries around the world, but we're talking here mainly about Europe and the United States. Why did they decide to have a full-on lockdown rather than to do what Sweden did? I mean, you would have thought that, from what you say, that it would have been sensible to copy the Swedes, but they didn't. They went a completely different route, which could be almost suicidal economically.
Absolutely, and that's what's happening. Well, I'd like to point out, a lot of people ask me, why did the governments make this decision, which is completely not sensible? Well, first of all, in my opinion, the governments are being blackmailed. They are being forced to do these decisions. And I can give you an example. Why is it that all those countries which do not kind of abide by the empire's orders, you know, the Western Empire, like China, Russia, Iran, Syria, Venezuela, etc., why did they have that, and Italy also, why did they have the highest number of infections? They were punished, in my opinion, for not following orders. And those countries that follow orders were the least punished, like Sweden. Sweden is a perfect example of the New World Order candidate, because they have introduced a cashless society. They have accepted millions of migrants. They are fully into this feminism and all those woke themes they are in. So they were least punished. And all the other countries that oppose all these things, they were punished by having huge infection rates.
Right. Okay, so you're implying here that there's some sort of mechanism by which, you know, some sort of shadowy power elite can make a country suffer with COVID more, one country suffer more than another. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and before that, in all the years before, it was terrorism. So if you did not follow orders, you had terrorism in your country. That's how you were blackmailed before.
Yeah, well, it's easy enough to see how you could maybe sponsor terrorists in someone else's country, but not to the spread of a disease.
Well, the spread of a disease is very easy because it's absolutely invisible. I mean, you can just spread it in places where there's a lot of people meeting, like in railway stations, and they will carry it all over the country.
So do you think this has been spread deliberately then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
do you have any evidence for that?
Evidence? Of course I haven't got evidence. But this is the only logical, how you can answer the question, why is Iran still fighting with the highest number of infections? And other countries, like in China, it's coming back again. Is the second?
Well, I mean, you're painting a picture here of almost like a James Bond film, with somebody, you know, surreptitiously spraying the virus in a city, maybe from a plane, maybe like you say, in a railway station, and people picking it up that way.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's very easy to do, right? It's very easy to do. Don't forget that we have examples of that in our history. Like, for instance, the American natives, the Indians, they were given blankets with bacteria, typhus bacteria, and they traded these blankets against some other things, and then the whole a large part of the Native Americans were wiped out because their immune system was not used to the typhus and other sicknesses which the Europeans brought over. And that was done on purpose. That was done on purpose to kill the Indians in North America. I mean, that's a historic fact.
Okay, so the question's got to be who would do this and why?
Well, you don't want to hear that, but the English arm of the Rothschild became the richest person in Britain by first. It was about the Battle of Waterloo against Napoleon. This is also a historic fact. How did he become the richest person in Britain? He had a very good information system, and he got the information that Napoleon had lost at Waterloo first. So he spread the rumor in the market, in the stock market, that Napoleon had won. And that meant that all the people, all the market players sold all their stocks and the whole stock market crashed. And at the same time, Rothschild bought up all the stocks of all the British companies for pennies. And then when later the real news came in that Napoleon was defeated and Britain was not in danger of being invaded by Napoleon, the stock market went up and back to where it was, and the British Rothschild owned half of Britain. And that's exactly what's happening now. They want to crash the whole economy, buy up everything for cheap, and then when the economy comes back, they own everything. That's how it works. That's been done many times in history.
Well, it's a fascinating theory. So we keep hearing more about the virus, whether it's true or not, in the mainstream press. We hear about various waves, more waves coming. What do you make of the press coverage?
Yeah, absolute catastrophe. The media has finally proven that they are not what you would call the fourth estate in a democracy, which means they are supposed to criticize the doings of the government. What all the media in Europe, in America, is doing is they are the mouthpieces of the government. They are the propaganda department and the media department of all the governments, because there is not one word of criticism.
This is a serious situation, they would argue. It's extremely serious, and that many people could die if the right information is not disseminated to the public.
Yeah, but they are not dying. That's an invention that they are dying, because we see it in Sweden. They didn't die. There was no more deaths there than usual. So this is all constructed, it's invented, it's an illusion. There is not they created this panic to make people believe that they have to stay at home and they must not go out and they must not do business and they must not go to work, with a fantasy, with a huge lie.
Well, I think one thing many people are questioning is, we seem to have come to the end of the first wave anyway, but why has it been so long before the many countries, literally over the last couple of weeks, many countries in Europe and the United States have introduced wearing of masks in shop. It seems to be being introduced as the pandemic is finishing. Why is that?
Well, they want to extend, you see. They want to extend their powers, which they gave themselves. And also, this is a psychological thing. Everybody knows who has anything to do with medicine that masks don't actually help anything. And especially these masks, because you can create them yourselves out of a piece of clothing. I mean, they are not really a real mask. It's just a piece of clothing in front of your mouth and nose, because it doesn't matter what you put in front of yourself. There is no control. You can put anything in front of your face. So this is just to make the people also to continue this scare, to continue this panic mode, which they then extends all their power and what they have given to themselves in like in a dictatorship. So they are dictating everything, what you can do, what you can't do, and if you don't do it, you are punished, etc., etc.
Well, I noticed that on your blog, All Smoke and Mirrors, you have a post about the coronavirus not starting in China. Now, I mean, certainly as far as I can remember, it was the end of January. China was the first place that the coronavirus, the COVID-19, was discovered.
No. Actually, it was in Spain. You see, what has happened is that laboratories in Barcelona have gone back to samples they took out of the wastewater, which they were collecting every day, and they went back to January 1919, which means a year before. And they measured and they found in the examples of February and March already the virus in those wastewater examples. So the virus was in Spain, in Barcelona, already present in the wastewater of the city a year before it appeared in China. Right? So China is not the starting point.
Well, there's certainly people in Somerset and Bristol that say that they had a virus very similar to this before it was even recognised back in December. The BBC apparently had a film crew that came back on the 17th of December 2019 and spread it in the BBC. But unfortunately, the BBC have not reported that on the local news here.
Of course not. Don't forget what happened 1 or 2 months before the December appearance of the virus in Wuhan. In October 2019, in Wuhan was the military sports games where soldiers from all over the world, from all military, came to do their kind of Olympics. It's kind of the Olympics of the soldiers. And for instance, 300 American soldiers came to Wuhan and from all over the the world. So it could be that this was how it was introduced to the Chinese city of Wuhan by all these visitors, sportsmen coming to Wuhan. That would be a very logical way of bringing it to China, into this city, and making it spread out.
Well, anyway, there's now a lot of talk about vaccines. Apparently, nearly 50 or so different projects trying to create a vaccine. Do you think that's going to help?
Well, it's going to help psychologically. You see, this whole vaccine thing is first of all, it's big business. I mean, I saw this already 2009 with the swine flu, where all the countries in Europe were buying the doses of the vaccine like crazy. For instance, Switzerland bought 13 million doses for two shots for every person. France, 50 million. Germany also. It was a huge business for the pharma industry. And it's the same now. It's the same happening now. It's all about business. And selling this to billions of people, like Bill Gates said, His aim is to inoculate every person on this planet, which means 7 billion people. Right? So that's what it's all about. Big business, and also the whole thing is questionable from a health point of view. I mean, if they're rushing this thing through without doing proper testing regarding side effects and rushing it through, because normally it takes about 2 years for a vaccine to go through all the testing and then approval, but they're rushing this in light speed through. So what does that mean? Does that mean that it could be a problem?
Well, this is a common cold, the coronavirus, and it seems like a kind of mutation of it, or else a genetically engineered version of the common cold. But we've had quite a bad experience, really, over the years with the flu vaccine, where only roughly 10% of those injected with the flu vaccine actually get any benefit from it. Something like 25-30% actually catch the flu. Right. From the vaccine. So it's been a pretty bad, and also of course they have to change it every year, and as you say, it takes 2 years really to develop it. So this flu vaccine has been a bit of a disaster in some ways. Do you think the vaccines generally need to be looked at, or is it just this potential coronavirus one we need to take a close look at?
Look, if I haven't had the flu and the influenza in the last 15 years. I've never had influenza. And the reason is because I always take care of my immune system, because that's the best way to fight off all infections. If you have a good immune system, if you take care of that with vitamin D or other things that help your immune system, you will not get sick. You will not get the yearly flu, and you will also not get COVID-19. That's where the government should put their emphasis on improving the health of the people and not on the vaccine. You see, you have to solve the problem and not do the side things. You understand?
Yeah, go to the root of the problem.
Exactly. The root of the problem is a lack of that the body cannot fight off this virus by itself. That's where the problem is. A weak immune system. And that's where the government should come in and say, tell the people how to strengthen it and improve it.
Well, that's interesting, because the governments haven't been saying that, and neither has the media. This is amazing, really, that surely even if the government has forgotten this question, surely the press should have picked up on it and said, you know, you need to be taking vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but don't forget, look, the media in the West, in America and also in Europe, is going absolutely down the drain. That means I have the latest figure from Germany. All the big newspapers and media and private televisions are losing between 10 and 20% of readership and viewership. 10 to 20%. So they are really in a very big economic problem. And what is happening is that the government has to now bail out also the media, and they are getting money from the governments. And therefore, they have to... there is a saying in German, who pays decides what music is played, if you understand what I mean.
Well, that's, yeah, in English, that's the who pays the piper calls the tune.
Exactly. And that's what's happening with the media. They are now completely dependent on government bailouts and handouts, because the people don't believe them anymore. They ignore the media. But the media has to therefore bring out the propaganda of the government. That's why they do what they are told. That's why they don't criticize. That's why they don't give alternative views. That's why the alternative media is being censored and locked and kicked out of Skype and out of YouTube and out of Facebook and everything, right? There's an information war going on.
Well, it almost sounds to me like a kind of Joseph Goebbels has taken over in some ways. I mean, you know, there's a lot of propaganda, obviously, on all sides in the Second World War. The censorship really wasn't the way that things were done in England. They would allow the Nazi propaganda broadcasts to be broadcast in England. And we would then maybe either ridicule them, lampoon them, or criticise them. But they weren't actually banned. And you're saying now that we've moved over to the dark side, if you want, where if there's a view that that certain powerful people don't agree with, governments, press, whatever, that YouTube, Facebook are taking those views down.
Well, why do you think I had to go out of Switzerland? The main reason why I had to leave Switzerland is because my views that I was expressing and my way of explaining the reality was not accepted, and I was threatened. They tried to kill me financially. They tried to block me in every way. And I had to leave Switzerland. And a lot of people don't believe this because they think, oh, Switzerland is a democracy. That's not true. Switzerland is just is not a democracy. It's just the facade of a democracy. It is it's not real. And if, let's put it this way, as long as you say what the government wants, then they don't touch you. But if you start criticizing and showing the real things, then you will really notice how a hammer will hit you. Right?
Well, so how were you got at? I mean, what things happened to you?
Well, they closed my bank accounts, and I couldn't access anymore all my bank cards. The same happened, by the way, to Julian Assange. Look, when Julian Assange came to Switzerland, he applied for
asylum.
Asylum. And he had bank accounts in Switzerland where the people could pay in, to WikiLeaks.
Donations.
Donate to big WikiLeaks. As soon as this was announced that he wanted to have asylum in Switzerland, PayPal, all the Swiss banks, even the Post Bank closed down his accounts, and all his credit cards were cancelled. Well, that's how you kill somebody. If you kill him by not giving him access to finance, well, then he's dead, isn't he? And you can't move anymore. You can't do anything anymore. And that's what happened to him. And that's what also happened to me. And it happens to everybody. What's the demonetization at YouTube? What is that? That's exactly the same thing.
Yes, well, that happened to me after I got I did a video about Brexit, which got 1.75 million hits. And, I started to get some quite serious money coming in advertising. Literally a month or so after that happened, suddenly I was demonetized. So I would agree with you on that. I mean, it's a way of stopping somebody in their tracks, effectively, isn't it, by just taking away their access to finance. But look, you know, getting back to the virus, right, I'd like just to hear from you how you think it fits into the more bigger geopolitical picture, because I know that you another one of your blog posts I saw a few weeks ago, I think, was entitled NATO in 2030 shows the madness of the alliance. In the last 30 years since the illegal war of aggression of NATO against Yugoslavia, a vehement opponent of NATO and demand its dissolution. Actually, NATO would have to dissolve itself in 1991. So what do you mean by that?
Well, don't forget that the whole purpose allegedly of NATO is to be a defense alliance and against the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. I mean, although the Warsaw Pact was formed after NATO, So, but that was that we were told this from the 1950s on, that NATO is to protect Europe from the bad Soviet military aggression, right? That's what we were told. Now, when in 1989, 1991, the Warsaw Pact collapsed, dissolved, and the Soviet Union collapsed, and the enemy of NATO disappeared, there was no need for NATO anymore. I mean, if you don't have an enemy anymore and it's just gone, why do you need still this huge military organization that costs a lot of money? Taxpayer money. So what happened is, instead of dissolving it and also getting rid of it, it expanded, and it expanded into the vacuum that the Soviets left regarding East Europe. So the whole, all those Eastern Europe countries were sucked up into NATO, and Russia was surrounded from Turkey right up to Norway.
And yeah, I was just hearing, we were hearing from Alex Craner last week, the author of a book about the Magnitsky Act, and he explained that in Croatia, when they joined NATO, the first thing on the list was that they had to assign the native Croatian intelligence service over to NATO, so NATO would then control it.
Absolutely. And look, the whole Balkan War, the war, this illegal, completely illegal war of NATO against Yugoslavia. And not me, I'm not saying this, it was Chancellor Schröder who said this on TV in an interview. He said, I made a criminal act by ordering German planes to bomb Yugoslavia during the NATO attack. That's exactly his words on TV in an interview. So he confirmed that the NATO attack against Yugoslavia was completely illegal. It was an act of aggression. And the whole point was to split up Yugoslavia into all these small countries, in all these small states, and then give the Balkan Mafia their own country, what's the name of the country? Which was part of Serbia. And they could create a military base on the Balkan. Camp Bondsteel is the biggest military base in Europe, and it's in the Balkans now, right? That was the whole point, to get the Russians out and get NATO in.
Just getting back to the geopolitics of today. For example, there needs to be some big changes going on. Apparently, we're hearing today the Americans are going to be withdrawing 12,000 troops from Germany. We've also got this ongoing slaughter going on in Yemen. We've got the tension in Hong Kong with something like 7.5 million people who live in Hong Kong now getting extremely scared that they've been basically abandoned. And if they dare to criticize anything President Xi says, they, even if they whisper something in a bus stop, they can be jailed. And obviously there's tension with Russia too. We've seen this week the Russians testing out some kind of satellite killer. So what do you think about the general geopolitics, and what particular stories or issues would you like to tease out about the wider picture?
Well, the wider picture is that we are, that every, all these moves that are happening from the West. I mean, I wanted to answer your question before regarding NATO. You see, NATO has been looking for new jobs to do. And the latest story is that NATO is expanding into the Pacific. Can you imagine that? North Atlantic Treaty Organization is saying we have to also go into the Pacific, and Australia, New Zealand, and all those Pacific countries have to, and Japan and North, South Korea, all have to become members of NATO. That's the latest statement from the head of NATO. So that's what I was explaining in my article you mentioned. The expansion of NATO into the Pacific. NATO is saying China is our enemy and we have to confront them at their door. So that's what's happening. So the big picture is that they are not only moving ever closer to the Russian border and they're sitting in front of the Russian border and they're doing these huge maneuvers in the Baltic Sea and in the Black Sea and provoking the Russians all the time. They're doing it also by moving three aircraft carriers in front of the Chinese coast and all these things. Can you imagine what would happen if the Chinese or the Russians would come with their aircraft carriers in front of San Francisco and New York? What would happen then?
Yeah, or sail them up the Thames, maybe.
Well, and go into the Gulf of Mexico and cruise around in front of the nose of the Americans. That would be an act of war in the view of the Americans. But it's okay for them to cruise in front of the nose of the Chinese and Russians all the time. Right? That's okay. The Russians and Chinese have to accept that.
But you must admit, the Russians are being some would say, being very provocative by shooting down or doing a test of shooting down a satellite. That is quite provocative.
Well, that's not provocative. That is only the answer to President Trump's move a year ago to create the Space Force. You know, what Reagan dreamed up, Star Wars, and he is now putting all the money into it and creating this new arm of the forces, of the military forces going into space. He wants to militarize space. And what the Russians have done is only a signal to the Americans, well, if you do that, we already have a weapon to take care of that problem, right?
Anyway,
this is not a provocation, it's a signal.
It's a signal, yeah, okay. Where do you think all this is heading, Manfred? Because it's, you know, there's a lot of saber-rattling going on. And, I mean, if it does turn into some sort of hot war somewhere, that would be very nasty. But it may not do. Where do you think it's going?
Well, this whole situation reminds me a lot about the end of the 1920s and start of the 1930s, because there was also this huge economic depression, millions of people unemployed, all the factories closed in Europe and also in America. And what happened then, this was the build-up of the fascism and also of the military build-up and all the aggression which led into the Second World War. So I see a lot of parallels to that, because what do governments do if they cannot handle the internal problems regarding employment, millions unemployed, no work, nothing happening? What do? They create an enemy outside and say, we have to all fight this enemy, and that means war. And then they can spend the money on weapons and get the people working in the armament industry and send them soldiers, get them off the street by putting them into uniforms. This is all going to happen. I have a feeling we are repeating history, and we are going to end up in a big war again.
So do you think we didn't learn much from the Second World War?
Never in the history of mankind has mankind learned from history. That's never happened. You see, after a war, I remember in the 50s, they said, oh, this will be the last war, and that's why we have to have friendship with all the countries, and nationalism is wrong, and we have to create this unified Europe, and we're all brothers and sisters, and so forth. So this feeling after the war was very prominent. And then that's how also the European Union and was, you know, there was the argument for it. But this has now worn off with new generations. They have forgotten all this. All the people who lived in the Second World War, went through the Second World War, they mostly have died. There's hardly anybody around that still remembers the Second World War. And if they're still around, they must be over 90 or something, right? So what is happening is this collective memory is worn out, it's gone, and you can, and what amazes me the most is that there is no opposition from the public against this whole COVID-19 propaganda. People accept everything that the governments tell them. You stay at home, they stay at home. You wear a mask, I wear a mask. They even tell on each other. They even go out and tell on each other, hey, my neighbor is not wearing a mask, and calling the police. I mean, this is incredible what is happening. So I'm very disappointed about the people who are accepting everything the governments tell you as a lie. And the media, of course, tells you. There is no opposition. Look, the people go and demonstrate for Black Lives Matter, which is completely also an invention, but they don't go demonstrate for their freedoms and for their, you know, in the constitutional rights of assembly and free speech. They don't demonstrate for that, or very few people demonstrate for that. But thousands of people go for Black Lives Matter. That's incredible what's happening, right? Although in America, there is no institutionalized racism. On the contrary, the black people have been always pushed forward by affirmative action, as it is called. They are pushed forward, although into positions where they actually, under normal circumstances, wouldn't be eligible to do. But you see this in the Hollywood films. The Hollywood films, since 30 years, are exactly put with actors according to the percentage of the population in America. Regarding blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and white. They're completely, since 30, minimum 30 years, they are exactly, the actors are selected like that. Right. So it's not true that racism, there is a lot of racism in America. And what the hell have the Europeans have to go on the streets with Black Lives Matter? Isn't it interesting that the virus obviously knows that when there is a constitutional demonstration, it can spread very effectively. But if there is a Black Lives Matter demonstration, then the virus knows there is no infections. So this is a very intelligent virus. At least the police do it. The police treat the demonstrations like that. The police and the government treat the demonstrations like that. They really hit those who are for the Constitution. They go massive against these demonstrations. But for Black Lives Matter, they can do what they want. There is no social distancing, no wearing masks. They can do what they want.
Finally, what about Brexit? Because this is there's been all sorts of attempts to sort of derail it as part of this virus pandemic. From Brussels, they're saying, "Oh, you should really just leave it for another year before you finalise a trade agreement. Let's delay that and delay it. You can stay in the EU a trade agreement for a bit longer, a bit like the Swiss do and the Norwegians do. So they're not part of the political system, but they are part of the single market, and they want us to do the same."
Yeah, of course they want to delay, because you see, what Brussels really hates is that one big payer into the budget is leaving, especially now, because they have the European Union, the heads of the European Union have decided to hand out now 800 billion euros as for the recovery money for this COVID-19 problems. And who is going to pay for it? Who is going to? Everybody is receiving money, and the only people who are paying into it is Germany. Germany is going to pay the bill for everything, right? Because all the other countries, Greece, Italy, France, Spain, etc., they are all getting money. Also, Austria is getting money, and Poland, and Czechoslovakia, and Romania, and Hungary, and everybody's getting money. And where is it coming from? It's coming from Germany and from the Dutch. That's why also the Dutch are against it. And they are missing the Brits. They say, you can't leave now. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I mean, surely this money is just created out of nowhere. I mean, they've got the money printing machine going on at the European Central Bank.
Yes, but what is happening is, you see, Angela Merkel has absolutely promised, not only her, she has broken a promise, she has broken the German constitution by now agreeing to the debt union. The debt union. She has always said, I have a tweet where she said 2 years ago, there will never be a debt union as long as I live. And now she has agreed to it. That everybody has to stand in for the debt of everybody. Up to now, it meant every country has to take care and be responsible for their own debt. And now, the union is, all the countries are responsible for the debt of everybody, which means Germany has to take care of all the debt of everybody else, right? So she's a huge liar, a huge traitor. She has sold out Germany, and the German people, they don't understand this because the media has sold them this whole thing as a positive thing, as a sign of solidarity, etc., etc. And the media doesn't tell the German people that you will pay huge taxes. They are introducing all these ecological taxes, taxes on CO2, on all these so-called green taxes. They're going to, so the tax will be huge to pay for this money.
Well, look, I mean, I said finally, but what, you know, if there are problems with the finance of the euro because of this, if the Germans and the Dutch can't pay, or you know, they find it politically impossible, there is this thing in the horizon, isn't there, that Prince Charles has been talking about called the Great Reset. He's saying actually really what we need is a completely new financial system for the world.
Well, I think, look, have you noticed how the gold and silver price has gone up? That it's in record. The gold and silver price is on record heights. But you have to understand, it's not that the gold price has gone up, it's that the fiat monies, the euro, the dollar, the pound, and the yen, etc., they're all losing value. You see, gold is not getting going up, it's the others going down. The buying power of all these monies is losing tremendously, because they are pumping all these trillions and trillions of dollars and euros into this whole system, which means we will have a huge inflation. Money will be worthless. This is another thing that reminds me of the 1920s in Germany, where you had to have a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. Right? We're going Zimbabwe. We're going Brazil. We're all going to be poor. we are losing in all respects. The money in your bank will just evaporate.
Oh, well, maybe Prince Charles is right then. We do need a new system.
Well, yes. The question is, what kind of the reset will come. I don't think the euro can survive another 2 years. And the reset will come. The big question is, in what direction are we going to go? Are we going to go into a socialistic system where people want to have everything for free? Is that where we're going to go? Or are we going to a real free market system, which we never had? We have never had a free market system. You know why? Because we have central banks. And central banks are the biggest form of plan economy. Central banks are the epitome of planned economy because they control the money supply and the interest rate. And therefore, they control the economy. You have to get rid of central banks and come back to a market-driven system, a real market-driven system, and not a socialistic system of planned economy. But that's the danger, that after the reset, we are at a crossroad, depending if we go left or we go right. Do we become sensible? Because socialism has never worked in history. Never. Socialism is just spent taking money from people and spreading it around until there's nothing left.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say we, in Britain here in the 1950s and 60s, we had a very successful socialism where the government was running most of the infrastructure and that was all provided at cost. Things like transport, energy, water, this sort of thing was all provided at cost. And that was quite a successful socialist system.
Yes, but I'm not talking about the basic infrastructure like you just mentioned. Power and water and roads and things like that. I mean, that's and security and military. I mean, these are the basic jobs of the government. But the governments have expanded into every way of life. They are dictating everything. I mean, look, alone in Germany, in the last 20 years, the laws regarding building construction have tenfolded. Does that mean that 30 years ago the people didn't know how to build houses or what? So what are all these laws that they have introduced which makes building a house so difficult and expensive and to follow all the rules and everything? I mean, you could get rid of all these laws, and that means getting rid of all the people who inspect these laws and do these things. And that applies to many areas of life and of the economy. I remember when I was in the banking system that before the banking system was not regulated or was only basically regulated. And then suddenly the security ministry, you know, the Ministry for Finance introduced all this reporting and that that you have to control everything. You know, the controllers took over the banks. The controllers took over the banks, and you could not decide anything anymore unless you got back to a controller and asked him if I can do this. So it's incredible how much the government has gone into all these systems with their laws and everything to control it. And we have to get rid of all this. We have to become sensible again. Common sense has to prevail.
Can you, first of all, if there's anything you'd like to add, but also maybe you could, any sort of final comments, but also could you just tell us whereabouts we can find your blog?
Yeah. Well, I have the big worry that what's happening, you see, we are in the situation now in August and September that a lot of these first aid monies that were spread by the governments are running out, like in America. You know, the $600 paycheck. That means that the people will not have, the tsunami will hit us. That means the people will run out of money. They will have no more, their savings are gone. And they will have no jobs. They will have no income. And that will apply to tens of millions of people. And worldwide, it will be billions of people unemployed, which means we are running into a huge potential for conflict, for internal kind of like a civil war. You know, like we have seen now in America, where they're looting and burning down shops and cars and everything, shooting each other. So this is a big problem if all these help monies run out. And they have to run out because you can't finance this forever. You can't have no income because the economy is dead, but spend all the money to the people to so that they can buy food and pay their rent, right? So this is my big worry, that we are running into a civil conflict in all those countries, especially in America, which we see already now, right? I think what they will do is they will keep it going until after the election. And after the when the election in November is done, then the big explosion will happen. Then they can let the whole thing go. And the next president can take care of it. So this is one side. The other side is the potential for conflicts. Look what's happening between Israel and Iran. In Iran, every day there are things blowing up, power stations, petrol stations, other buildings. Between India and China, there is a conflict in Pakistan. There are conflicts all over. What's happening in Libya? The Turks want to fight a war there against Egypt or what? I mean, this is complete nonsense what's happening there in Libya. And also regarding the aggression to Venezuela and Syria and all this. I mean, look, Trump went into the 2016 election campaign by promising that he will end the wars and he will give Americans a job and he will build the wall. I mean, this is basically the three promises he made. Well, he hasn't come good on these promises. He hasn't ended one war. They're still all going on in one way or another. There are 50 million people unemployed in America, and the war is only partially done, right? So, and that's after 4 years. So I don't see how he can be elected unless he comes with some new promises. But can you imagine if the other guy wins? I mean, that's ridiculous. If that senile old guy wins, who can't even speak correctly, Biden, who is corrupt up to his neck. I mean, the tragic thing is in America that the Democrats are helping Trump. For instance, the last decision by the Democratic, panel, they're against universal health care. Can you imagine that? The Democrats are against universal health care. They are blocking it. That's incredible. Although that's actually a thing that they could do or have to do in America. So we see a lot of problems coming because of the whole economic situation.
Okay, right. So your blog, whereabouts can people find?
Well, my blog, the name of my blog is Alles Schall und Rauch, which means all smoke and mirrors. You can Google me, Alles, A-L-L-E-S, Schall, S-C-H-A-L-L-U-N-D, Rauch, R-A-U-C-H. Alles Schall und Rauch. You can Google me, you will find me. I have 5,000 articles on my blog, covering all sorts of world themes, economy, wars, Europe, America, everything.
Now, I was Googling you just for fun earlier, Manfred, and I found that if I put in Alice Schall and Rausch and spelt it correctly, which is not easy for an English person to do, I then found that your blog was on the fourth page of Google.
Well, you still use Google to search? Google, of course, I know this since 1 or 2 years. They suppress me and many other alternative blogs. Before, I was always number one, but they changed the algorithm and they are suppressing all these news sites which don't conform to political correctness.
So what they do is they have artificial intelligence that detects websites that are telling the truth and then buries them.
Absolutely. I mean, that's well known. I'm not the only victim. Everybody is saying this who lands in the fourth, fifth, tenth page. It's also with YouTube, the same thing, which belongs to Google. You know, they put you all the way back. They push all those websites and all those videos that confirm their narrative, which are, to their liking. And this is why we are run by these oligarchs, by this IT, high-tech oligarchs corporations. That's what we run. You know, the guy, Facebook and Google and YouTube and all these people who own these high-tech companies. Twitter. You know that the son of Trump has just been kicked out of Twitter? They got rid of him. So everybody who says something which is not following the political correctness, they just censor, they kick him out of their platform.
I've just thought, well, actually, most of these people, Eric Schmidt, Mark Zuckerberg, Peter Thiel, who provides a lot of money for these sorts of organizations and PayPal and things like that, these are all Bilderbergers, aren't they? And Bilderberg conference apparently has been cancelled this year. Do you think it really was cancelled or it was just a secret conference, Manfred?
Well, you see, there are two conferences. There is one where the steering committee meets, which is 30 people, and that's absolutely secret. And then there is the bigger meeting, which involves 120 people. That was cancelled, but the steering committee meeting absolutely happened. I was able to see one of these steering committee meetings in Rome. When was it? About 5 or 6 years ago. By chance, I got the information that the steering committee is meeting. They always meet in October, you know, in autumn, and then they plan the next year's big meeting. And I was in the same hotel because when 30 people meet, they can't block the whole hotel. So I was had a room in the same hotel, and I saw them all, right? So this is, I'm sure that the steering committee met because it's only 30 people. Right. But maybe they did also a video conference, you know, that the 120 got together via Skype or something.
But I don't think they like that because they're paranoid about email and surveillance and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, they push this like crazy onto us, but they themselves don't want to do it. You know, they don't want to be surveillanced, but they want to surveil everybody else. Right.
The other thing about Bilderberg, of course, is the key figure there is Henry Kissinger. And the interesting thing about him is he has his feet in both camps. He's got one foot in the American camp and one in the Chinese camp. So he's quite an influential figure around the world. And he has said, I remember this is probably in April, he published an article saying, unless we get this COVID-19 response right, that we could have a major conflict. In fact, he was actually saying set the world on fire. The trouble with Kissinger is you're never quite sure whether he's issuing a warning or a threat.
Well, it's both, actually. It's both. It's a threat and a warning. You see, the psychopaths who run our governments and the world, they always announce their criminal deeds. I mean, Hitler announced what he was going to do in his book, Mein Kampf. They always tell you what they're going to do, and then they will say, well, I told you so. Why are you surprised? Didn't you understand what I was saying? They always announce what they will do in the future. It has to do with psychology, kind of like, I warned them, therefore I can do it. You understand?
Okay, Manfred Petrich, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, and we hope to do it soon again. Thank you very much.